You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, before Alexander Hamilton was the inspiration for a hip-hop musical, he was the architect of the American economy, and our guests say he still has a lot of lessons to teach us.
First, Governor Walker signed 8 bills into law yesterday that are part of the HOPE agenda, standing for heroin, opioid prevention, and education. These bills are the latest efforts to address Wisconsin's growing crisis. Here's Governor Walker speaking after a signing event in Marinette.
Today's legislation we signed here and others like it across the state will help us give more tools to make sure the treatments processes we're using are more effective, to help the State Department of Health Services collect more information to make sure that we're using our tools as effectively as possible.
The stakes are high. Wisconsin's drug-related deaths in 2015 surpassed any year dating back to 2002. According to a report released last year by the State Department of Health Services, drug overdose deaths in Wisconsin doubled from 2004 to 2013. In 2013, opioid pain relievers accounted for 45% of overdose deaths, heroin another 27% of those fatalities.
From the criminal justice and public safety side, Attorney General Brad Schimmel, who backs the legislative measures, has called heroin abuse the biggest challenge that we faced in law enforcement in public safety in a quarter century.
Representative John Nygren sponsored this legislation. He's a Republican state lawmaker who represents the 89th Assembly District, which includes Marinette. He's also co-chair of the Joint Committee on Finance. Representative Nygren, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back with you.
Well, you've supported this and other pieces of legislation. How bad, since we started tracking this problem, is this issue here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's bigger than just Wisconsin. I mean, I initially introduced legislation based on not only personal experience, I unfortunately have a daughter who got caught up in addiction, but also my area, which led the state in overdose deaths per capita for a couple of years in a row. So we began to think about this as local. First of all, a family problem, a local problem, and then when we began to do research in Wisconsin, we found a state problem. But even more so now, I think everybody is beginning to realize that it's also a national problem. CDC came out this week and said that we've lost 165,000 people over the last 15 years, not to heroin abuse, but to prescription overdose. And I think that is one of the main reasons why last session we talked a lot about heroin, but we're really trying to get across to people that this happens in most cases. About 80% of them actually start with prescription drugs, and I don't think there's that stigma or that fear with prescription drugs as there are with as there is with heroin. So that's why we've really been continuing this battle.
In this package of 8 bills, it seems like that's a big part of the focus, getting a grip on this prescription medication problem. So what kind of things are now law, now that they've been signed into law, that will help tackle that problem?
Well, I think one of the most significant issues that is now law deals with the prescription drug monitoring program. This is something that was actually passed into law in 2010, required pharmacies to enter information for scheduled drugs within 7 days into a database, and then the concept was that the doctor would have the ability to check that database when they have a patient in front of them before prescribing a scheduled drug. Unfortunately, only about 14% of our doctors were utilizing that system. We're actually even registered for it. We don't even really know how many times they were accessing it. So we're working with the hospital association, working with the medical society. We're asking them to, or I should say requiring them to utilize this system, at the same time making improvements to it, so that it can become more user-friendly, can give them more useful information, such as comparing their specialty. Once they sign on, there'll be a dashboard that shows their prescribing history compared to others in a similar specialty. Medical directors of hospitals and clinics will have access to their doctor's prescribing history, so that our hope is we don't ever have a situation where we have another TOMA. We also hope that we can reduce the amount of people becoming addicted, and then at the same time continuing to work to deal with the folks who have unfortunately already become addicted over the last several years.
And this, it sounds like, might help tackle the issue of maybe a patient shopping around different doctors hoping to get a prescription, or maybe even the same patient getting multiple prescriptions from different sources, but nobody knows that that's happening.
That's exactly correct. not only will we have information from Wisconsin, we actually share with other states as well. So we should be able to have, I see it as really a tool for doctors to be able to see what their patients' prescription history is, so that we don't want to be prescriptive here. We don't want to be punitive here. There's no penalties involved for doctors, but to give them the tools to be able to see their patients' prescription drug usage to prevent addiction or diversion of prescription drugs.
And it seems like some of the other pieces of legislation will help track how big the problem is, help monitor what's going on in communities around the state. How are we going to do that?
Well, first of all, the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, we've actually put things into statute asking for certain expectations as far as being able to collect information. We want to know how we're doing today versus how we're going to be doing once this goes live, and then ongoing to be able to measure whether we're actually seeing a reduction in the amount of prescribing that is actually taking place. But then also, there's a lot of data collection that we were asking for when dealing with pain clinics. And also methadone clinics. There's not a lot known about the number of patients that these clinics see, and we want to be able to collect that data. What's the dosage they're receiving? What's the long-term treatment plans for these patients, so that we can have a better idea of how significant this problem is and what steps we can take to actually correct the challenges that we face.
One concern when I look at comments online, especially when the CDC issued that report earlier, when people talk about trying to dial back on opiate prescription drugs, there are people out there dealing with pain for various reasons who say, yes, good, we want to control, prevent addiction, but some of us really need these medications. We don't want to make it hard for us to get them. How do you draw that balance there?
Well, first of all, I dealing with the medical community, we had that very same concern. We don't want to create barriers, artificial barriers to people getting the medication they need. That's why there's no punitive steps here. The doctors will just simply have information, and so that they can make decisions on what's best for their patient. But at the same time, I think you also saw the CDC come out this week and say that opioids should not be used for long-term pain treatment. That there's other ways to go that aren't addictive, and I think from a medical community that I think they're going to begin to explore what their options might be. Perhaps opioids are not the best treatment for long-term pain needs. Pain management doctors that I've talked to, many of them do not currently use opiates, and they are using other means to be able to treat that pain. So I don't think we're taking away their ability to get those medications. We're actually just giving information for doctors can make an informed decision.
Talking to Assembly Representative John Nygren, sponsor of a new package of legislation just signed into law on the heroin and prescription opiate drug problem here in Wisconsin, and of a previous package. And I wanted to ask you about that, Representative Nygren. Part of the target of the first batch of HOPE legislation tried to prevent death by overdose of heroin and prescription drugs. How have you seen that working so far since those were passed?
Well, we've actually asked for reports from the Department of Health Services. We don't actually have the complete data yet, but probably two of the main pieces that we believe actually have helped save lives in Wisconsin, actually three main pieces. First of all, the 911 Good Samaritan law allowing for immunity for somebody to dial 911, immunity from simple possession charges to save a life. Second would be the greater access to naloxone and Narcan. First of all, we made it possible for basic level EMTs and first responders, police and fire, with proper training to be able to carry and administer Narcan. And then the third piece would be further access to treatment. As far as naloxone and Narcan, we have seen, like for example in Madison, in the first 10 months that law was in place, I believe the statistic was 164 lives were saved by utilizing naloxone. In Appleton, I believe the number was around 140. We don't have a statewide number yet, but based on just those first 10 months, I believe you can probably surmise that thousands of people, perhaps a couple thousand people, actually are still with us today that have the opportunity to still seek treatment and recovery going forward. And I think that's a positive step. Let's just face it, if they're no longer with us, they never have that opportunity for recovery. As far as treatment goes, we have three pilots that we started in rural and underserved areas. One is up in the Ashland-Douglas County area. One is in the Minocqua area, and one is actually in the Marinette-Ocano, Florence County areas. Those were all the sites were all determined by the Department of Health Services, and we're testing different types of treatment to see what is the most beneficial so that as a state, if we find what is actually working well, we can actually reinvest and expand these pilots throughout the state.
As we wrap up, Representative Nygren, you mentioned that this issue has affected your family, your community. As you've been working on legislation on heroin and prescription drugs, what kind of things are you hearing from families?
Well, I mean, I think there, you know, there's still some barriers to treatment, whether it be insurance, whether that be private insurance, or whether it be Medicaid. We're hearing that those still barriers exist, so I think there's probably still more that needs to be done, and we're continuing to work on that. But I also feel, you know, we named this the Hope Agenda, and I think one of the reasons we did that is because we were hearing from families that they didn't have a lot of hope for their child, their loved one, or what their future might look like. And I think because we're talking about this, more and more people are willing to share their concerns and actually feel a little bit more sense of in Wisconsin that we're heading in the right direction, that there is hope for the future. So I'm very much gratified by what we've accomplished so far, but we know that we've got a lot more to do.
We'll leave it there for now. Representative Nygren, thanks for joining us.
All right, take care, guys.
That was Representative John Nygren, lawmaker from Marinette, talking about heroin addiction, prescription drug addiction bills in Wisconsin. Also tune in 4:55 on Monday and Tuesday on Central Time to hear Shemaine Mills, our health reporter, bring us feature stories on the human cost of these addictions.
Coming up, our guests say we should learn economic lessons from Alexander Hamilton. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.